Well, good morning, Texas. This is Monday, if I get the program right. This is program number 83, Cup of Goodness. This is Mike Paulson talking to you from the Siberia of the 48 states, soon to be from North Dakota. We are continuing on this mini-series of go ahead, read the Gospels. Just don't reject them. They're still history. They're still the way of God. When Jesus came to this earth to be here for the Jews, and that was Jewish teachings, when he came to fulfill the law. So we still need to learn that stuff. Just don't change them, like all the modern Bibles have done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Don't teach them with signs for gain. Don't teach them as law, as applicable law to us today. So this morning, let's continue on here. Let's just get right into this thing. And we will look at this as the Gospels. You know, go ahead, read the Gospels, and we should. But don't use them as your personal testimony of who you're following, of your salvation, of the blessings, etc., in your life. Now let's look and see what I mean with this whole thing here this morning. We've got a choice of people we could follow, okay? You could follow Jesus, of course. You could follow John, any of the Gospel guys. But you know, people pretty much look to John. Even the Baptist guys give out books called Romans and the Book of John. They're looking to Paul's teaching somewhat in Romans, and then they look at to what John teaches about believing. Of course, you've heard me say many times that believing in the Book of John is to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was their Messiah. And that isn't what Paul teaches today for our salvation at all. And we're looking to the risen Savior. So we have to be careful with that. We could look to Peter in the first 8 chapters of Acts, or you can go into 1st, 2nd Peter in the back part of the book. I wonder if you know why they're in the back part of the book, just like 1st John is in the back part of the book, even though John wrote it, and John is before Paul's books. Have you ever thought about that? Well, if you've been listening to the programs, I know you thought about it because I have taught about it. But we'll get to that here in a few minutes. You can follow a modern Bible. You can follow, your pastor's teachings. You can not read your Bible and not worry about anything and let him who's been to Bible college, been to Bible Institute, been to Greek classes, been to hermeneutics or whatever they call those things, homiletics or whatever, and you can put your faith and trust in him, I guess. I mean, you can make your choice, but the scriptures that you do have do tell us to look to Paul, and Paul's books are in the Bible. So far, there's not a modern Bible out there that actually eliminates Paul's books from the Genesis to Revelation Bible, or called the Protestant Bible, as people used to call that thing years and years ago. So at least he's still in there. So instead of taking the books out, which would be way too obvious, they take his teachings away. And the pastors then tell you, stay away from Paul. Stay away from these guys that talk about Paul only. Stay away from them because you're dangerous people. Yeah, but those books are in your Bible there, Pastor. What's the story? And these modern Bibles, like I say, they've deflated the books of Paul so much that it doesn't matter whether you read them or not. So anyway, so let's look at who do you follow? What is your personal testimony? Who are you looking to here? I'll say right off the bat, I'm following the risen Savior. I thought you said you're following Paul. Well, we're told to follow Paul, which I'll show you again. Follow Paul is to follow with the risen Savior taught to Paul as my only apostle. The risen Savior did not teach anything to the 12 apostles, or 11 after one took a hike, as they say. He taught to Paul, and those other apostles taught this stuff to the Jews. Yeah, okay, so I'm looking to Paul. I'm looking to a King James Bible. It hasn't got 100,000 corrections into it. It hasn't got all these verses changed. It doesn't have the opposites put in there now. It doesn't tell me to imitate Jesus. It doesn't tell me to imitate God or even imitate Paul, to follow Paul as Paul follows the risen Savior. You know, people believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, but somehow they don't get the concept that to follow the risen Savior is to follow his teachings as he taught to Paul in the King James Bible. It's just that simple. And yet, their pastors tell them not to. It's just like that. So let's get into this thing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. So let's say that you want to follow Jesus, which, if you think about it, makes total sense. He is your Savior. Again, the question would be, do you follow him during his earthly time when he was fulfilling the law and what people had to do to follow him then? Or are you looking to Jesus, the risen Savior, the risen Lord? Are you following him through Paul? Well, let's go to the Gospels first, and let's see what it is to follow Jesus according to the Gospels. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 16, and we're just going to flip pages. You'll hear my pages flip, and that's just, I'll try to get rid of as much as I can. Here we go. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Wow, that's quite a powerful thing. So you would think you should be denying yourself. Take up the cross, as he says, and follow him. Let's go a little bit deeper to find out what that may just mean. 19 verse 21, Matthew 19, 21 says this. Jesus said unto him, well here, let's go to verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Interesting that this guy had great possessions. He was able to give to help other people. But what Jesus told him was, sell that thou hast. You want to be perfect? You want to be finished? You want me to finish this up for you? You want to follow me? Then get rid of all you have. Give to the poor. All of it? Yeah. Well, don't you hear televangelists? Don't you hear pastors tell you that? This is where they get it. And if you want to go along with that, that's your choice. Not a problem. But just listen to this whole program. Let's go to Mark 10, verse 21, and then reevaluate who you really want to listen to and who you want to follow. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Well, here, let's go to verse 17. I'm always kind of looking at context here. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? For there is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Pretty good guy. Very devout guy. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast. And give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. By the way, small little bunny trail here, take up the cross is missing in the modern Bibles. Why would it be missing? Well, because obviously during the gospel days, that's what they had to do. Paul never tells us that. We need to get off the cross, is what Paul tells us. So I suppose if you take it out of the Gospels, then it kind of helps blend with what Paul teaches. But that's missing. Take up the cross. Okay. And let's finish up here, John chapter 10, verse 27. We're just going to finish. Do you get the drift? If you want to follow Jesus according to the Gospels, give everything that you've got, sell it, and get rid of it. Then you get that treasure in heaven, see? So if you believe that stuff, and if you want to believe that, My address, P.O. Box 327, or if you want to ship it in crates or boxes, it's 129 Main Street. And I'll buy stuff from you a little bit. You can sell it to me. John chapter 10, verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, that's interesting things. You know his voice. Well, where is Jesus' voice today? Do you hear this voice on the inside? You know, just kind of bunny trail this thing. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 14, drop a few thoughts here about these voices that you might be hearing. 1 Corinthians 14 says this, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. It's referring to the fact that there's many voices out there. Well, which one are you listening to? How do you know it's from Jesus? I mean, seriously. Is it because it agrees with you? King James Bible, that's the voice of God. That's the voice of Jesus to the Jews. That's the voice of God to the Jews, Israelites, Old Testament. It's the voice of God to Adam and Eve. It's the voice of God to Abraham. It's the voice of the risen Savior to Paul, who then takes that voice that he heard face to face with Christ. He takes those words, and that voice is given to us in Paul's books. That King James Bible is also the voice of God to the people during the tribulation. Book of Revelation is the voice of God, of Jesus Christ, actually, to John. And the books of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and James, and Peter, those are the voices of God to the Jews during the tribulation. That's not the voice of God to us. So, if you say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I shall give unto them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. See, we go to John chapter 17, and we read where Jesus says, these people that you gave to me, see, that's what he's talking about here. These are the Jews. That's what he's, this is not referring to us. You want to follow the voice of Jesus? I mean, King James Bible. Now, why is it when it says here, my sheep hear my voice? So why isn't everybody doesn't hear Jesus Christ's voice, the voice of God in that King James Bible? Well, they don't know how to rightly divide it. And they've been taught out of it. In fact, I'm going to be doing a program here in the next couple of days. Why don't people hear the voice of God in this King James Bible? If it's what you say it is there, Paulson. Well, we'll talk about that. So hang in there. And I'll keep talking to you. This is program 83. I remember program 1. I barely got enough stuff. I was so nervous like I was talking to you live. And now program 83, I wish I could talk for hours. I wish I could come down to Dallas and rent a big, huge auditorium and then speak to all the radio listeners in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I probably could rent a motel room at Howard Johnson's and probably not even fill that room up. It's amazing. People don't hear the voice of God today. They hear voices. Most of the time, the voices are either singing or pounding away on instruments and drums and stuff, or they hear in their own voice. Remember, Paul talks about that, itching ears. They only hear what they want to hear. I think you remember those verses. Let's keep going here. So let's go to Galatians chapter 2. What if you're a Peter? What if you want to follow Peter? Oh, I don't follow Peter. Well, sure you do. 1st, 2nd Peter. There's verses your pastors talk. They talk about that all the time. Those are guilt books if I've ever seen any. Or if you're a Catholic, you're following Peter. Goes back to Matthew. See, he's the rock that started this whole church thing, according to you guys. And then Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 8, that's all Peter. But what does Paul say about this Peter guy? Well, he says in Galatians chapter 2, by the way, the book of Galatians is pretty much directed to Gentiles, of course, but there are still Jews in the audience, congregation, if you want to call it as such for today, this that deal with the law, people that think the law is still important in their lives. Galatians is pretty much directed to those folks. And is that you? Do you follow Peter? Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, the gospel of the uncircumcision are the Gentiles, because the Gentiles are never told to be circumcised. Then it says, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. See, so Peter, his gospel, what he taught, was taught to the Jews. That's the circumcision. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, parentheses, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me, that's Paul, toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, remember Paul, dispensation of grace, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, that's the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision. So why do you want to follow the apostles and Peter when their teachings were given to the circumcision, the Jews, and Paul's teachings were given to the uncircumcision, and that's the Gentiles? I mean, there it is. It's that simple. Okay? Well, let's go on to John. What about John? I mean, John is a fantastic book. It's just great to read about Jesus, what he was, who he was. It's a very enjoyable book to read. You just got to remember, he's talking to the Jews. He's telling the Jews who he is and what he's done and what they need to believe. That is not written to you. Well, let's just take a quick trip over to 1 John. Well, it's still John. It's by the same guy, but it's at the end of your Bible. Why is it at the end of the Bible? Look at it this way. They crucified their Savior. They crucified the Messiah. Okay? And here comes Peter in the first 8 verses of Acts telling people, listen, you guys, you killed your Messiah. They ask Peter, what should we do? Okay, this is Acts chapter 2. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, etc., etc. If they would have accepted the risen Savior at that time, Jesus was offering himself again. And if they would have accepted that, they would have had to go right into the tribulation because that's what had to take place because they crucified their Savior, their Messiah. And so the things that John wrote, the things that James wrote, the things that Peter wrote, the things that Jude wrote, were written to the Jews, assuming, of course, that they would believe that he was the Messiah, and he would come back, and they'd have to go through the Jacob's trouble, they'd have to go through those things. So they write these things with that intent. The Lord's coming back, and here's what we need. Here's what we're going to need to do during those last days during the tribulation. Okay? So they killed Stephen, the preacher, who really put it to him. I'm telling you, Stephen really put it to him. And they killed him, and Christ went on to Paul. He like drops in this dispensation of grace, which was hid to everybody. Nobody knew that was coming, and went to the Gentiles. The Jews are supposed to go to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ would have gone to the Gentiles through the Jews had they taken him back, but they didn't. So God drops in Paul, and Paul's books, Paul's words from the Savior himself, drops them in the middle here. And then when the Gentile nation is done, when the Gentile nation is cut off, call it the rapture if you want, it's talked about in Romans chapter 11, verse 22. When that's done, they're going to go right back to where they were last days. And what John and James and Peter and Jude and these guys wrote will then become applicable again, as that would be the last days. I mean, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Is that taking place today? Is the devil walking around looking? Have we been told to take the mark yet? Do we have to obey the law? Not according to Paul's teachings, not according to Paul. So what is all this stuff? Let me show you some more things to think about. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. So see, they've been there. Okay? Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is of the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Has your pastor or teacher ever told you that you can lose your fellowship with God by sinning? This is where they have to go. Look at verse 4. We're going to go through some verses quickly here. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So you want to have a joy? Okay. He talks about the walk in 1 John. That if you don't walk the walk, you won't have your joy. That's just the way it is. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now listen, only you that's listening knows the answer to this question. What fellowship with the darkness do you do? On your computer? On movies you go to? On your thoughts? Places you go for refreshments? What do you do with your daughters for sports? What do you do with your family for activities? I mean, what's going on here that goes against the Scripture's teachings? Then you take you to verse 7. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Then in verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So do you have no sin? Are you not sinning somewhere along the line? Well, see, then, if that's the case, then you confess your sins. In verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Really? Do you buy into this stuff? See, this is 1 John. This is a tribulation book. So would you say the confession makes you a Christian? Have you confessed everything? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Well, we'll read on. Do I say that we have not sinned when Christ took care of the law? Our works will be judged by the judgment seat of Christ. But he took care of the law. There is no law. There is no law. There is no sin. There is no transgression. Doesn't this conflict? And this is the first thing I started to ask myself as a Baptist pastor. Now, if I'm teaching what Paul teaches, which I was, because it's a fantastic doctrine, and yet this says what it says in 1 John, something's not right here. Make your choice. Either Paul's bogus, and the risen Savior did not go to Paul and did not teach him to teach those things, then they shouldn't be in my Bible. Well, get yourself a modern Bible. Okay, but the modern Bible still have Paul in there. Show me a Bible that gets rid of all the Paul books and it's Gospels only. Well, there is no such Bible. I know you just got to go to a church that teaches earthly teachings, that just teaches the Gospels and doesn't teach Paul. You've transferred your authority to your pastor, to your local church. You've thrown out your Bible. And you King James guys, if you're listening to me this morning, you are just as guilty as anybody else by going back to the Gospels and throwing out Paul. Now, you might throw in Paul's teaching here and there, a couple of verses here and there. You throw out all of Paul's books. Why don't you throw out the Gospels and just study them as history, the way of God, and then look to Paul who teaches the way of God more perfectly. There's more there today. 1 John chapter 2, let's just move along here. Look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. See, I mean, do you keep his commandments? Well, no, but I confess them. Now listen, have you got all the commandments confessed? See what I'm saying here? Look at verse 9. Let's just move along here. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Well, let's just jump over here to 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Oh my, that's music. Activities. Man, the list is mile long, the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love of the Father is not in him. Talk about having to toe the line. Well, they are going to have to toe the line during the tribulation. Do you have to toe the line like that today? I'll tell you what, if you do, you modern Christians sure do love the world. You sure do love the things that are in the world. You King James guys, I've seen you over the last 20, 30 years. You sure have grown to love the world. Well, you have the grace of God, but you still love the world. And this is what it says. 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So is that what you're following? Look at verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Oh, so you don't need your Bible because you've got that unction from the Holy One, as it says. You have that unction? Look at verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? See, that's what John taught in the Gospels. That's fine. That's what they taught. That's what they had to believe, that he was the Christ. Is that what we have to believe today? Is your salvation based on the fact that you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Well, I suppose I could ask, is your salvation based on what your pastors taught? Is your salvation based on the fact that you follow your denominational teachings? Is your salvation based on what you think? A salvation based on how well you get along with the musicians or what you listen to? And based on God's love for everybody? I mean, whatever. Let's go here to verse, we got 22, we got 27. Let's look at 27. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Is that the kind of anointing you have? Nobody needs to teach you anything? Why are you even going to the church you're going to? What, you've got everything down, right? It's amazing. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Have the works of the devil been destroyed? Look at verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Is that right? Wow. Let's go to verse, check it out. Let's go down to verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So then your pastor would take that verse where it says, well, see, here's why you're not getting what you ask for, because you're not keeping his commandments. Well, if you're not keeping his commandments, we've already read where you're not in him and he's not in you. You have to keep his commandments. You have to. It isn't the fact that he's not going to answer your prayer. You're no longer in him, and he is no longer in you. That's what we just read. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Okay, so do you love everybody? And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So do you have the Spirit of God because you love everybody and love one another? Don't forget, it does say in verse 22 that you still have to keep his commandments, plural, not just this one about loving one another. Have you ever lost love for somebody? Come on, look at the stuff in reality. Yes, this is tribulational stuff. Yes, they will have to do these things. They will have to follow this stuff. But remember, Acts 2 tells us that God will put the Spirit of God upon their flesh. They will be able to do these things if they choose to. They will have the power to do so. We don't have that power. Do you have the Spirit of God upon you, upon your flesh? According to the Scriptures, we have the Spirit of God in us, not upon us. So these things you read in 1 John and 1, 2 Peter and James and Jude and all these things, that's tribulational stuff. So in all reality, you're being taught tribulational teachings. And if you can't do them, then the guilt trip's put on. You go down to the front of the altar, you cry and you pray and you ask for God to forgive you. You got about a minute and a half to confess all your sins, and then God will bless you for the rest of the week. But that's why you go there every weekend, every Sunday, because you got to confess your sins, you got to cry, you do their whole bit. Aisle runners, I used to call them. It's an amazing thing. To conclude the one for this morning, we will have to continue tomorrow morning. Are you looking to follow Paul? I'll give you the other choice tomorrow morning. We're looking at, go ahead, read the Gospels. Don't reject them. Don't change them. Don't teach them as signs for gain. Don't teach them as law today. And then don't follow them as you follow Jesus or Peter or the apostles. Don't follow that. I just read to you just a few of the verses that ought to shake you up a little bit for you to realize you're really not following him, are you? You're really not. And then tomorrow, we'll talk about following Paul.